So in this book called Meditation and Life, we have covered several topics. Briefly, they talk about the external world and the internal world and how man spends all his or her time in taking care of the external circumstances, and we don't spend too much time in the internal, and that is where all the joy lies. We look for joy in objects and things. And things are changing, and unless you can find the joy within, as long as you're depending on objects, you will suffer the consequences, because objects change, people change. So one has to discover joy within. And then we had talked about character last week, how character makes the man. So today we'll continue this text, and the 10th chapter is the talk about the gross body. So there are three bodies. Gross here does not mean gross in the sense some people say think gross means something disgusting. But in our Vedanta, there are three bodies which we all experience. This BMI chart everybody knows. But this body, mind and intellect, body is the visible body which I can see. It can be male or female. It can be even animal, bird, fish, plant. But it's the visible body that's called the gross body. And with the body, I perceive the objects. And with the mind, I feel the emotions. With the intellect, I think the thoughts. And V represents vasanas. So we'll find out how the three bodies are represented in this BMI chart. And Om represents God's presence within. So there are three bodies that we deal with. One is the gross body, the visible body, as I said, which is, can be male, female, can be even animal, bird, fish, plant. Then the mind and intellect. The mind is the seat of emotions. Intellect is where all the thoughts and judgment is. It's called the subtle body. Subtle body means it's something that's not visible to us. Like what you are thinking, I don't know. You know, maybe you're enjoying it, or maybe you're saying, I'm wasting my time here. I could be watching, you know, basketball at home. So I don't know what you are thinking. So that is something that only we individually are aware of. And of course, our actions at the physical level depend on our thoughts. Like today, now we had this desire to learn about meditation. So the intellect said, you know, today let's go study about meditation. So the mind says, you know, maybe it'll be fun, maybe it'll be not. And then the body finally comes to walk here to attend. So the mind and intellect are called the subtle body, which decide the action, what I do. But they all depend on the vasanas. Vasanas are my tendencies, my habits, with which I was born with certain tendencies, vasanas, and then over this lifetime, I accumulate more. Like somebody may have a desire to drink, and he may not drink. He might say, it's not good for me. Or he might say, it's okay. So based on that, he will strengthen his drinking vasana or he will weaken it. So the vasanas is called the causal body. So the gross body is the visible body. The mind and intellect is the subtle body, which we don't see. And the vasanas are the causal body, which causes me to act. So why does an alcoholic drink? Because he has a vasana to drink. Why does a sportsman play sports? Because he has the sport vasana. Why does a businessman work all day on his business? Because he has this vasana to make more money, to be more successful. And why does a spiritual person pray, meditate? Because he has the spiritual vasana. So the vasanas are our tendencies which make us do things. So that's why it's called the causal body, which causes me to act. But the fourth aspect of our being is called Om. Om is God's name or consciousness. That is the fourth, and that is called the Turiya state. So, the fourth is the state, is that fourth, not a body, but it is the support of all three. All three are supported by that. Even when I'm awake in the three states, in the waking state, I'm working with the gross body. So, when I'm awake, you know, I'm picking up a ball and throwing, or I'm driving a car, or I'm doing a math problem, I'm using the body. Then, when I go to sleep and I start dreaming, in the dreaming, my gross body is not working. You know, I'm fast asleep, but my dream, my mind and intellect, the subtle body is becoming active. And what does the subtle body do? Takes impressions from what I have done throughout the day, or maybe what I have done in the past few days. And then along with that, my desire. So it combines all that and creates a story. Like if you have, met a person you didn't like, and the second day you missed a plane. Actually, that happened to me. There was one person, not that I didn't like, but he was creating problems for us in building this facility. And it so happened that a few weeks later, I somehow got caught or somehow and missed the connection. So I missed my flight. So these two impressions about this person who was creating problems and I missed my flight, missed the connection. A week later, I dream. And in my dream, I find I'm running to catch a train. I'm running, running, running. And as I get to the platform, the train station, the train takes off. So I miss the train. And who's driving the train is that guy. And he's looking at me and laughing. So the subtle body takes impressions from different times and puts it together and makes it into a very coherent. And I'm all out of breath and I'm tired because I've been running. And there's this guy laughing. So when I'm in the dream state, it's the subtle body that is creating the dream. And then when I'm in deep sleep, when there is no dream and I don't even have any awareness of the body, I don't have any awareness of the world, you can call my name, I still don't respond, then we are in that vasana state or the unmanifest state where I'm in deep sleep. And that is the causal state and that is the state of bliss. Because when I don't have any dreams, see, dream could be happy, unhappy. Body could have happy or unhappy situations. But when you are in deep sleep, are you ever miserable? No, we are in a bliss state. At that time, I know nothing and I am not dealing with. Even a person, beggar on the street, he's sleeping, or a king sleeping in his palace. When they are in deep sleep, they are in the equal bliss. So those are the three states, the waking, dream, and the deep sleep. And the fourth state is called the Turiya state or the state of Om or the state of God. And when we are in contact with that, that is when you are in a bliss that is not dependent on objects. See, the body depends on objects. The mind and intellect depends on somebody should love me, somebody should respect me. The vasanas depend on I should get what I want. But in that state of bliss, the highest state, where you are awake, but you are still experiencing the bliss. See, the vasana state is deep sleep where you don't know. But a yogi or a meditator, when he experiences that fourth state of bliss, when he or she contacts the Lord within, then that state is called the Turiya state, which is not again dependent on anything, not dependent on objects, not dependent on people, not dependent on success, not even dependent on getting what I want.
The relationship between the deep sleep implication of vasana and the example that you gave of sports vasana or some other vasana on which we are dependent. What's the connection between the two?
Well, what happens is the vasana is that state, but when we are in that deep sleep state, the only thing functioning at that time is the vasanas, that is the state you are in. Where at that time your mind is not working, the body is not working, only that the unmanifest state, you may call it. Vasanas are not my manifest desire. See, once I have a desire to start playing sport, once I start playing, I come at the intellect and the mind level. Where the unmanifest, where yet the desire has not manifested, so that is the state of unmanifest state, and that is also the state of deep sleep, where there is, at that point, there is nothing manifesting. It's called the unmanifest. So the vasanas are the unmanifest desires. Once the desires become manifest, then they are at the intellect level. So when the desire is unmanifest, has not yet manifested in me, that is called vasana. And the vasana causes the desire to manifest. So when I start playing sport or I decide I want to play sport, I'm already at the intellect, at the mind level. So the vasanas are the unmanifest state. That's the state of deep sleep. And in that state, there is nothing else except that, the causal body. which is not a physical body, it is the subtle, even subtler than the mind and the intellect. The mind and intellect is very subtle. I don't know what you're thinking, but the vasanas are even more subtle. Now in life, there are two things. One is suppression and one is sublimation. So our teachers tell us that the goal of life is to reach that state of Om, that state of realization. And we have to give up dependence on worldly objects. Like the body is happy with when it gets objects, when I get more food, when I get a better, nice clothes or a piece of jewelry or a new car or, you know, golf clubs. The mind is happy when somebody loves me and, you know, and returns my love. The intellect is happy when I get some success. So these are all dependent on that. But what they say, you take away your dependence from all these things and attach to the Lord's presence. So once you have experienced that inner bliss in meditation, then such a person remains with that bliss throughout and is able to function irrespective of whether he gets the objects or not, whether he gets emotional love, whether he gets intellectual success. And so they say, detach from the lower and attach to the higher. So the essence of spiritual growth, there is in one sentence, if you want to, is detach from my lower nature and attach to my higher nature. So Om or God is called my higher nature, and this is my lower nature. So some people do it by suppression. I will not do it. I'm not going to eat. I'm just going to sit and meditate. I don't. Now, that is called suppression, where you want to do something, but you forcefully catch yourself. No, I'm not going to do it. And my body, mind keeps thinking, you know, I wish I had a pizza right now, or I wish I could be playing, you know, I wish I could be in, or I wish I had more, and I'm taught, no, you don't depend on worldly desires. So that is called suppression. But better than that is sublimation. What is sublimation? Where I find something higher and then I hold on to that. So the lower drops off when I find something higher, like a girl, you know, she loves her doll. So she's playing with her doll and all day and all night she's attached to the doll. I have to have the doll. And anybody tries to take it, her sister or her brother tries, she starts crying and fights. But when she grows up a little bit and she becomes 16 years old, she gets a car. And now she's driving all over, meeting with her friends and having dinner and partying. And all. Then does she worry about the doll? No, she has grown out of it. But the doll I used to play when I was 5 and 6. But now the doll is lying somewhere and people are kicking it and throwing it. So she has grown out. And so that is what one way we have to do, that grow out of our desires to find something better. Once we do that, then we are no longer dependent on the lower body to give us happiness. This reminds me of a story. So there was this couple, older couple, who lived a very good life, you know, has lived a life of control and ate very well and everything. And so they so happened they were in a car accident and they both died. And they went to St. Peter. And since they had lived a good life, so St. Peter says, you know, both of you are going to heaven. So he says, come on, I'll show you your house, you know. He says, house? She shows them. It's a 22-bedroom house. So wife says, is this ours? Yes. So who's going to clean 22 bedrooms? You know, I had trouble maintaining a 3-bedroom house. No, no, this is heaven. Everything gets taken care of. House gets cleaned automatically. Thank God. Then they go into the kitchen and then there's all kinds of food, Mexican and Italian and Chinese. Oh, all this food is for us? Yes, you can eat whatever you want. Won't we gain weight? No, this is heaven. You can eat anything. You'll never gain a pound. And then in the behind, they have a golf course and their house is on the golf course and the husband loved to play golf. So this is your own private golf course. You can play anytime. You can play day, you can play night, because in heaven there's no such thing as day and night. Whenever you want to play, there is sun. Perfect weather, 72 degrees. It's neither hot nor cold. Courses are perfect. Anytime, there's no thing like tea time. Whenever husband gets mad, you know, he gets very angry. So wife says, why are you angry? You know, Saint Peter by now has left. Why are you angry? You are in heaven, you have a big house, you have all this food, you have golf, which you love to play. Why are you angry? He says, I'm mad at you. She says, why are you angry with me? She says, if you hadn't fed me that healthy food, I would have come here 10 years earlier. So suppression is when you forcefully control, but sublimation is when you understand. So when you have the right understanding of what my goal is, then automatically you drop off. It's like a person, as we have said, wanting to be win the Olympics. Now he's not going to eat unhealthy. He's going to eat the right thing. He's going to eat in measured quantities. He's not going to go out late at night and party and smoke and drink. His friends may say, come on, you know, let's. No, I have to be bed by 9 o'clock. Why? Because tomorrow 6 o'clock I have to train with my trainer. So he drops off his lower pleasures because he has the higher understanding. So he detaches. Why? Because he has understood that my goal of life is to win the Olympics, or a businessman who starts a business. So you automatically detach. For him, a businessman, again, he is not worried about his family, his wife, his pleasures, whole day and night, how to make my business successful. So similarly, a person who realizes that God is my goal, that is my goal in life, then for him or her, I mean, if the physical, it's not that he makes himself miserable and just, you know, some people do that. They just give up everything, go to the forest and meditate and all. But you and I, we can't do that because we have family and world and all. So in the world, I function, but I do not depend on the world for my happiness. If things are there, comfortable, it's fine. If they are not there, I'm still fine because my goal is higher. And I have discovered that higher goal. And at the body level, there will be sometimes health, sometimes ill health. At the mind level, sometimes joy, sometimes sorrow. At the intellect level, someday I'll get praise, somebody I'll get criticism. Sometimes I'll have success, sometimes I'll have failure. But that person has gone beyond even the vasanas or the unmanifest tendencies. And once that higher goal becomes, then automatically the person detaches. So detachment comes from understanding, not from force. So he says that depending on the body, which body I am identifying with, that is my judgment. Like if I'm identifying with the body, some people just with the body, that's all their life. Okay, my life is to eat more, drink, have fun, enjoy, you know, have a big house, lots of money, and just have fun in life. Who's worried about God and all this nonsense meditation? Some people at the mental level, you know, I must have love, I must have, you know, this person should love me, that person. So they read artistic books and music and poetry, and that is good. But that's all their life is. And other people at the intellect level, they want to write books, they want to become famous, they want to travel, give talks. So depending on which body you are attached with, that becomes your goal. But a true spiritual seeker, once he has discovered that joy, then for him, nothing else is as important. And actually in life, nothing is as important as reaching God or knowing God. We get caught up because why? Because we get these little joys. I get a little bit of joy, so I get happy. So our Swami Chinmayananda gives an example of chocolate. Now somebody has, you know, chocolate, of course, everybody loves. But say you have a box of chocolate and each chocolate is wrapped in aluminum foil. Now the child comes, he does not know, but he knows that it's something sweet, chocolate box, because his mom has given him chocolate from that box. So he takes that foil and puts it in his mouth and he chews on it. He gets the sweet taste of chocolate after a while when he bites, but that's covered by the foil, you know, and that tastes horrible. So similarly for you and me, the joy, come on in, the joy we experience in the world, we are looking for that supreme joy. But our joy is covered with that foil of the world, the body, mind, and intellect, because that inner joy that we get is covered by these worldly things. So even when I'm eating pizza or getting an ice cream or you know, earning my first million or whatever I'm doing, the joy actually is the joy of that spiritual self. But we think the joy is in the world. So they say detach from yourself. Just as when you remove the foil, the chocolate you will get is the true sweetness, the nature of chocolate. So similarly, when you detach from the lower personalities and become one with that self, then the joy you experience is the true joy, like the chocolate which you have uncovered. And in life, it depends on which predominates. Like a person, like to give an example, a mother. Now, suppose there is a limited amount of food in the house. And if she, you know, if she has a child, what will she do? Because of her love, she will sacrifice her body. She will say, I'm going to eat less so that my child can have more. At the intellectual level, if I have a higher goal, like say a person who is fighting for freedom for his country, and his country is under, you know, foreign rule, and so he's hiding in the forest and fighting for freedom and trying to organize the people. At that time, his love for the family he has to give up. This, you know, he said, I can't be with my family. My goal is freedom for the country. Even his physical comfort, he gives up. He lives in the forest. He's hiding. He's running because the police are trying to catch him. So depending on which one predominates, that's how one's actions are. So when there is a higher goal in life, then the lower drops off. So when the person's goal is the highest, God realization, then that is the highest goal. And once we do that, once you would make that my goal, that I have to know God, I have to reach God, then nothing else is important. Then for such a person, physical comfort is not important. Mental, if somebody loves me or not, whether I have success or not. So they say you must go from the lower to the higher. Right now, most of us are attached to the body. So from the body, from the mind, from the intellect, go to the consciousness. And we have to reduce our concern for the body, because I am not the body. The body is my equipment. Just as anything I own, I am not, right? Like my book, when I say this is my book, am I the book? No, I'm not the book. When I say my car, I am not the car. I am the owner of the car. My house, I'm not the house. I'm the owner of the house. So the moment I say my body, my body is aching, my body is tired, then I am the owner of the body. I am not the body. Just as my car I am not, and the car I use to go from point A to point B, and I take care of my car. I regularly service it. I have it cleaned once a week. But I don't spend 24 hours of my life taking care of the car, polishing it every morning, cleaning it. No, and then when it, every 6 months I service it. Suppose every month I take it to the mechanic, then I'm living for the car. No, the car is an equipment. You use it, and then when it comes time to get car gets old, you drop it and get a new car. So similarly, the body is my equipment, is my vehicle, which I use to drive from point A to point B. So this body I use to go from here to there, and the body I use to acquire things, to function. But body I am not. I am the owner of this body. I take care of the body. I do healthy things. I exercise, eat healthy. But I do not spend my whole time thinking about the body, which some people do. Plastic surgery, makeup, buying clothes, buying jewelry, house. You know, do everything for the body. Everything. Which a lot of people are like that. All they care about is how I can be happier, how I can have more possessions, how I can be. So that means they are living at the body level. But for a spiritual seeker, body is a vehicle. So treat the body like a car. And when it comes time to drop the body at the time of death, for a seeker, there's no problem, because the body is, I get a new body. If you believe in reincarnation or rebirth, then which is a true, whether we believe it or not, it happens. So the individual, the body is dropped, and the consciousness, nothing happens, and the person gets a new body. So similarly, concern for the body should drop. body should not be my main goal in life. And in meditation, we turn our mind inwards. So we slowly detach, as we have practiced many times. We detach from the body, we detach from the thoughts, we detach from the breath, and we identify with Om, the Lord or consciousness, and that is who we really are. And so meditation slowly takes us from the lower to the higher, and we'll be talking more about it next week when we talk about the subtle body, the mind and intellect, and then ultimately what is meditation, which we'll be covering in the next few weeks. Because this book, the first half of the book is called Meditation and Life. The first half of the book is life. The second half of the book is meditation, different meditation techniques and obstacles in meditation. So all that we'll be talking in the next few weeks. So any questions or comments about what we talked about today?
Yes. To example where you had a bad interaction with the person on building this complex, I'm thinking, how did you try to sublimate your challenge instead of like suppressing
right.
the challenge with respect to relationship with that person?
Yeah, first of all, yes, I tried to not let bitterness come in my relationship with that person. And understand why this person, that person's whole focus was cost. He kept saying, oh, it's going to cost too much. You don't have the money. How are you going to pay? He was trying to help us, but by too much focusing on cost. So one, you have to understand where he came from. Secondly, I had in my mind decided, or not only I, but we as the board, that we are going to build this place. So even if this person is creating problems or obstacles, this center needs to be built because the community needs it and it is something good for the community. And so many people are benefiting. Sunday we have 160 children who come and we have so many lectures by Swamis. And so we knew that this is something good for the community. So when your goal is clear, then you don't care that much. Not care means you then disregard that person. It doesn't matter. He kept saying, how are you going to pay for it? The money is going to be a problem. You shouldn't do it. You should wait a couple of years. You should cut down, make it smaller. You know, so all those obstacles he was creating, maybe he was in his mind, he was genuine. So A, I understood where he was coming from. And B, when our goal is clear, then obstacles may come. But if you have a higher goal that God is with us, then ultimately that higher power takes over, and that's why this place has been very successful, has continued to grow and is financially also doing well. So in every way, it has done well, better than what we were expecting. So when you have no selfish interest, plus there was no personal goal, okay, this is for me or for me. It is his work, let him do it. And once that happens, then your goal is firm. So firmness and understanding.
In this example, of course, the goal was more sublime and spiritual. But sometimes in day-to-day work, when you get caught up in things like these,
yes,
where X person may want you to do something and Y may want you to do something, but that something is still on the body, mind, intellect
platform. Right.
So you still have to act and work there, right? How do you get rid of that?
I think, again, there, the goal should not be personal success, but what is good for the company. Say if you are in a company, right, and in your department, people are creating obstacles or problems. So there, when I'm an officer of a company or I'm a manager or I'm a worker, then my goal should be what is good for the company, number one. Number two, what is good for society. That should also be important. Not only may be good for the company, but they may be cheating society. They may be, you know, cheating other companies, putting them down. And thirdly, what is honest, what is truthful. So these three factors have to be there when I'm working. And sometimes, you know, these things make conflict from each other. What is good for the company may not be good for society, or what is good for the company may not be truthful. So then my higher goal should be the truth, should be the highest goal. And if I'm in a situation where I cannot change the company, then I have to either try in my own way to do what is best and slowly change the direction of the people in that hire, in that goal. Or if it comes to it where I just cannot do it because they're asking me to do things that are totally dishonest and cheating, and then if I have the courage, maybe I should quit and find another job, you know. But my goal should always be what is, not what my personal goal is, but what is good for the company or what is good for the society.
I think that the key word, not personal goal, is very important, because right. then it takes away the bitterness out of your interaction with the person.
Absolutely.
Then you're not really caught up with your own ego then.
Right. Right. If it's my personal goal, you're right, the ego comes in. But if it is what is good for all, then yeah, then you can include others, include their opinions.
And then in that case, even it is easy to drop that whole discussion out because that's not going to advance you spiritually anyway. So you'll just leave it aside.
Say, okay, yes.
Fine. This is not keeping God in the center anyway. Why should I fuss over it?
Right. Right. That's true. Thank you. Yeah.
In trying to detach yourself from something, would suppression or
sublimation,
is there any other factors that you could add in that may help strengthen?
I think the right understanding.
That's what I was thinking.
That's very important. That's why they have two words in Sanskrit, vivek and vairagya. Vivek means right understanding, vairagya means detachment, dispassion. So once I have the right understanding, then dropping is easier. If somebody is forcing me, you know, you have to, you know, do this, you have to do that, this is good for you, you have to go to church, you have to come to meditation, you have to read this, you know, then somebody is forcing me. But if I do it out of my own understanding, this is good for me. So first you have to have the right knowledge by reading or by listening to, you know, teachers, or with my own experience. I understand what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is morally uplifting or what is morally taking me down, spiritually uplifting. So once I have the right understanding, then detachment becomes very easy. That's why I put right understanding before detach. So detachment or sublimation becomes much easier when I have the right understanding. And I have to have a high goal in life. And the highest goal is self-realization or God-realization. In fact, that is the only goal. In fact, what they tell us that you have got the human mind with a human intellect, which animals and birds don't have. So the main purpose of giving the intellect to us was for the right understanding. And once you have the right understanding, then you have two goals in life. One is serve the world. And second is reach God or realize God. There is no other third goal in life. Even when I'm working in my job or in my profession, I should do it with the idea I'm serving the world. Of course, you have to earn a living. You're not saying that everybody of us cannot become monks and go in the forest. So when I'm working, I have to earn. But part of my earning should be given for charity. And my idea of work should be serve this individual, whether I'm a teacher, whether I'm a doctor or an engineer or a lawyer or a businessman or wherever I am serving society, I'm serving the people. Even if I'm a secretary or a receptionist, every person who comes is God himself coming. So I greet everybody with a smile, make them feel welcome. So I work to serve the world, and my second and the main purpose is to reach God. So these are the only two purposes of human birth. Nothing else is as important as that. Yeah. So once you have understood your goal, then everything drops off. Anything else?
When you speak of the three bodies, the waking, dream, are those similar to the kosha, pranayama?
Actually, the koshas, there are five koshas.
Right, right.
There's the food sheath, the physiological sheath, the mental, intellectual, and the bliss. So the food and the physiological, the first two are in the body. Uh-huh. And the second two of the koshas are the mind and intellect, which is the subtle. So the five have been made into three. And the bliss sheath or the vasanas is the same in both. So the three bodies are equal to the five koshas. Yes. Yeah, the five sheaths. The food sheath, the physiological, the emotional, the intellectual, and the bliss. Then, of course, the spirit is the higher. It's not part of those five. So the five and three are the same. They've just been combined.
Thank you.
Yeah.
In the Buddhist school, they combine body and mind as one.
Right. And they think, then they talk about shunya, or the absence. For them, that is the highest, where there is nothing, nothingness. But what we say, that higher than nothingness is that awareness, is consciousness, where I am aware of nothingness. So that is in meditation, there is no thought, there is not even body awareness. But there is something in me that is aware of absence. So that is higher than shunya, higher than absence. Because Buddhism seems to get stuck at that point. Actually, Buddha probably knew it, but a lot of the modern Buddhists get stuck at that, that there is nothing. No, we say there is awareness, which is even aware of that nothingness.